We're at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Chav Zayin. I'm amazed the Mishnah says like this: Ein mochrenes shal rabim liyachid mipnei shemoridin osol mikdushas so divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir said you're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah that belongs to the community, to the rabbim, to an individual, because that takes away from its kedusha. It used to be a sefer Torah of the tzibor, and now it's a sefer Torah of a yachid that detracts from its kedusha. So the Chum said to Rabbi Meir, well, if we're going to really carry that to its logical conclusions, maybe you should not be allowed to sell from a large congregation to a smaller congregation. Maybe that also would detract from its kedusha. The Gemara says, Shapir Kamerli Rabbanon L'Rabbi Meir. That sounds like a very reasonable question. Maybe you should not be allowed to sell from a larger congregation to a smaller congregation. Rabbi Meir, Meir Gedol Yerkatana, Meir Kara Kedisha Hashtanami Kedisha. Rabbi Meir said, no, that's not true. When you're going from a big community to a small community, it's all the same kedusha. It's bigger, smaller, but it's all the same kedusha. But Meirabim Liyachid Lechad Kedusha. But from the rabbim to an individual, that already makes a significant difference. From a community to an individual, that's not the same thing. And the rabbis didn't give in. The rabbis said, no, if we have to be concerned about selling from the rabbim to the yachid, we should also be concerned about selling from a larger congregation to a smaller congregation, because there really is a difference in davening in a smaller congregation, davening in a larger congregation. Right? Once you have a tzibor, whether the kedusha of the tzibor is set, once you have the tzibor, that is the kedusha, or whether the kedusha continues to add if you add more and more people. The next Mishnah reads like this: Ein mochrim es kenes sel al tanai shem yirtzu yachziru divrei Meir. Meir said, you can only sell a shul with the following stipulation, that if the community should ever want to take the shul back, then they're allowed to do it. So somebody maybe is thinking about buying an existing shul. So Rabbi Meir says, if you're buying an existing shul, so you can only buy an existing shul if you give them the option to take it back, should they ever decide that they want to. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham say, Mokhren osom mimkar olam. No, you could sell a shul forever. You don't have to, no conditions. Chutz, but may arba dvarm. Lamerchatz laborski litfilo lebeis hamayim. But you're not allowed to sell a shul if they're going to turn it into a bathhouse. You got to know what it's being used for. You're not allowed to sell a shul if it's going to be turned into a bathhouse or a tannery or a mikveh or a bathroom. You're not allowed to sell a shul for somebody who's going to use it like that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not even true. Mocher no sell l'shem chotzer. What do you care what's being sold for? You sell it to the guy so that he could have a field. Knock it down. Have a field. Do whatever you want. The halokeach mashiyir teyasa, and then the guy who buys it, he'll do whatever he wants. I don't have to get involved. I don't have to ask him what he's going to use it for. It's none of my business. None of my business. Ulrabi Meir hechi diariba ha haviola ribis. This is a shaila. You ready? Rabbi Meir said like this: you can only buy a shul if you give the community the right to buy it back. So Rabbi Meir says, well, how does this work exactly? Let's say you buy a shul for $1 million. You buy a shul for $1 million, right? And then you use that property for 5 years. And then the community comes back in 5 years later and they say, listen, you know, we've had an improvement in our financial standing and we want to buy our shul back. So the mayor says you need to give it back to them. So what do they pay you? The same $1 million. Again, it was a stipulation in the original contract. So you paid them $1 million, they give you back $1 million, but you lived there for 5 years. So that's interest. That's what the Gemara asks. Because I get my money back plus 5 years of usage. So in essence, this is like ribis, right? Because I gave them $1 million. Now they're giving me back $1 million, but it's $1 million plus because I also got to use the property for 5 years. So exactly how does that work? So Rabbi Meir believes like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Amar Rabbi Yehuda believed that sad echad beribis mutter. Ribis, which is not certain. Sad echad beribis means that it might be interest, but it might not. So then that doesn't count as interest, and you would be allowed to collect that. So, for example, the Tanya, Hare Shaya Nosha Bechavei Ramana, if I owed you $100, the Yosolo Sodeya Mecher, and I don't have $100, so I sell you my field. But the field is conditional, meaning I don't really want to sell you my field. I say, listen, I don't have the money. I know I owe you the money, so I'm going to give you my field. But when I come up with $100, I'm going to give you $100, and you're going to give me my field back. Is everybody with me right now? Yeah? So bisman shemocher ocho peiros mutter. So if I, the seller, meaning the guy who owes the money, if I give you the rights of the land, but I still get all of the produce of the land, so then that should be fine, right? Because when I give you the $100, right? You haven't gotten anything because I took all of the produce from the land. But lokeach ochel peiros aser. But if while you have the land, you also take the produce of the land, then that should be prohibited because you lend me $100. I'm going to give you back $100. But because I'm going to give you back $100 later, you're also going to collect the produce from the land. That's interest because you're getting $100. Plus, everybody with me, that's not allowed. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer afilu lokeach ochel peiros mutar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if the lokeach, even if you take the produce of the field, that's okay. Why is that okay? It's okay because you didn't need to collect interest. I could give you $100 right now. Interest is only a problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you must pay interest. But if I don't need to pay interest, meaning it's tzad echad beribis, that's the terminology, meaning there is a way that interest could come out of this, but it doesn't need to. It doesn't have to be that way. That's not the structure of the loan. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's not prohibited under the prohibition of ribis. So the same thing would be true here, right? Since the community might never come back to me, I buy the shul from them, right? They might never come back to me. I might keep this property forever. If they come back to me, right, then they want to buy the shul back. So then it'll end up that I took this side echa beribis. I took this one side of ribis, but it didn't need to be that way. So since it didn't need to be that way, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that that's all okay. From Rabbi Yehuda, Masib Baitus Ben Zonon Shasa Sadeu Mecher Api Rebbe Elazar Ben Azaria Velokech Ochopei Rosaya. And one time, Rabbi Yehuda said, one time this happened with Baitus Ben Zonon, and Rebbe Elazar Ben Azaria said that it was okay with the alone in the field, just like we just said. Some were low. They said to him, no, that's not what happened. Misham Raya, that's not what happened. Mocher Ochopei Rosaya Velolokeach. In that scenario, the guy who the Mocher, the seller, he kept the produce for himself. The guy who took the land, right? Conditionally, so he didn't use the produce of the land, so it wasn't the problem of ribis. So my benayu, what is this machlokus about? Sadecha beribis iko benayu. They argue if there is a possibility of ribis, but it's not a definite possibility of ribis. So would that be prohibited or not? Mar savar sadecha beribis mutter. One thinks it's okay. Mar savar sadecha beribis aser. And the other thinks it's not okay. Rav Amar no. Rav said the kulei yamat sadecha beribis aser. Everybody thinks that that's prohibited. It doesn't matter if it's definitely going to be interest or even if it's conditionally interest. It doesn't make a difference. That's all not allowed. V'hacha, what's this argument about? Ribas amanas lahachsir ika benayo. The argument is about, can you collect interest with the stipulation that you'll return it? Meaning like this, I owe you $100. I don't have $100. I give you my field. And I say to you, listen, you could take my field now. I'm giving you the deed of my field. But if I come up with $100, then you're going to give me my field back. And we agree, that's the deal. So you, when you take the field, you also take the produce of the field, right? But everybody agrees, if you use that produce, that would be ribis. What is the argument? The argument is, if I come up with $100 and I come give you the $100, you have to then pay me back for the produce that you took. So we have to do a calculation. So one opinion is mar savar ribis amanas lahachsir mutar, mar savar ribis amanas aser aser. One says that you're not allowed to collect interest even if the condition is that I'll pay it back, right? That I'll return to you the interest that I collected. So that's the machlokas. One person says that that's okay. It's okay. I can collect interest because I'm going to just give it back to you. The other one says, no, even if I'm just going to give it back to you, I'm not allowed to collect interest, even in that scenario. The rabbi said, you're allowed to sell the shul for whatever you want. I mean, for however long you want. No stipulations. You don't have to leave a condition in a contract that they can buy it back. Some Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Shmuel that you're allowed to go to the bathroom within 4 amos of where you daven. Amar Rav Yosef, my kamash malan. Rav Yosef says, that should be obvious. Why? Tanina Rav Yehuda Omer, mocher noso l'shum chotzer v'lokeach mashi yirtze yase. Because once you're finished davening there, you're done. That's why Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah said that you can sell a shul to anybody and let them use it for whatever they want. Because once you are finished davening there, you're done. So similarly, if I'm finished davening, I should be allowed to go to the bathroom because I'm done. Because I'm finished. And even the rabbis who said that there's certain things that you're not allowed to sell a shul to, that's only talking about a real shul where you have set, you know, every single day minyanim, so it acquires the status of sanctity of a shul. Aval dalat amos to look fiik dushasayu. But if you just daven on the side of the road somewhere, you know, so the dalat amos, the 4 amos around where you daven, it doesn't take any sanctity, and you should be allowed to go to the bathroom. There's a little tani latana kamed there of Nachman Mispalo. marchik dalat amosu mashtin v'amashtin marchik dalat amosu mispalel. So here's the opinion that we're trying to hinge on, because Rav Nachman said that somebody who davens, he should move four amos away before he goes to the bathroom. Similarly, somebody who goes to the bathroom, he should move four amos away before he davens. So I'm really like bishlam amashtin marchik dalat amosu mispalel. I understand if you go to the bathroom first, you got to move four amos away before you daven, because tanina kamiyachik mehen uminatzoa dalat amos, because that would mean that your refuse is right there. So that's not good. That's why you have to move. Elam ispala. But if you daven first, marchik al amosu mashin lamali. If I daven first, why do I need to move away? So ihachi. And if the halacha were that I do need to move away, so in kedushinu lekuli shvili denardoi. So then there would be nowhere in Nardoi where you'd be allowed to go to the bathroom, because presumably, I guess they had minyanim everywhere. You know, you got guys walking down the street. You know, minche. You know, and so you got davening over here and davening over there. You know, every day there's a minyan in a different spot. So if the halacha was that you're not allowed to go to the bathroom, by the way, they didn't have bathrooms like we have today. I know what you're thinking. You know, okay, good. Tani Yishah. So the Gemara says, no, so maybe it doesn't mean you have to move away, but you have to wait. So you're going to daven and you have to wait before you go to the bathroom. So Bishlam Amashin Yishik Dehilach Da'alam Shrimli Tzotzos. I understand if you go to the bathroom first, you got to wait before you daven, because you got to make sure you're all clean before you can daven. So you got to wait. Elamispalo Yishik Dehilach Da'alam Shlomali. But if I daven first, then why do I need to wait in order to go to the bathroom? I'm already done. This is amazing. Because even after you daven, you know, when you're walking out of shul, so you're still davening. I know, everybody, this happens to everybody. I know. Some people, they would have thought the opposite. Some people would have thought, no, you finish davening before you even take your tefillin off. You know, you haven't even taken your tefillin off and you already finished davening. It's like, no, that's not true. That's not right. No, you already finished davening. You already took your tefillin off. You're already walking out of shul. You're still four amos out of shul and your mind is still talking about, still thinking about tefillah, and your mouth is still talking in tefillah. Oh, that's the way it is. That's why you have to wait after you finish. Good. The Gemara says like this. Often Simon, the Gemara has a whole long piece over here. Here we go. Everybody ready? Shalom Tamid of Rebbe Zakkai. The students asked Rebbe Zakkai, but meherach the yomim. What did you do that granted you a long life? This is a good Gemara. You got to learn this Gemara, everybody. Yeah? What did you do that granted you a long life? So Amar Lehem, he said to them, miyom mailo ishtanti mayim besoch dal ramos shel tefila. I never went to the bathroom within four amos of where I davened. Good. Velo kinisi shem lachaverai. And I never called my friends by their nicknames. I never used nicknames. Velobitalti kiddush ayom, and I always made kiddush on Shabbos. Ooh, wah. He's not talking about kiddush club, by the way, gentlemen. He's talking about kiddush. It's not the same thing. Good. So ima zekeno haisaliv. He said, Rabbi Zakkai, he said, I had an older mother, right? And pam achas machra kippa shebarosha ve'viyale kiddush ayom. And one time she sold the hat off her head, so that she could make sure that we had kiddush on Shabbos. Tana kishemesa inichalo gimel meos karveyayin. And when she died, she left him 300 barrels of wine. They always needed to have wine for kiddush. They're very makbid. That's a very nice cellar, by the way, but not as nice as his, because kishemesu. Because when he died, iniach levanav shaloshes alfim karveyayin. He left his kids 3,000 barrels of wine. Rav Huna hava asaresa v'kai kame derav. One day Rav Huna came and he was like, you know, wearing a straw for a belt. Straw, you know, holding, you know, tied around him. And he came before Rav, Amar Lei my high. And Rav said to him, what are you doing? Yeah. So Amar Lei apparently wasn't Purim. Amar Lei lo hava li kedusha. He said, I didn't have any wine for kiddush. U'mishkante lemnei v'yasi be'kedusha. So I sold my belt. And I bought wine for kiddush. Amar Lei ye rava de tifus b'shiroi. He says, oh, you should merit to, you know, be draped in silk clothing. Ki ichlo rava b'rei, when Rav Huna's son Rabba was getting married, so Rav Huna inish gutzaver. Rav Huna was a short fellow, and ganai parai, and one day he was laying in bed, and asyun binte v'kalte shulchan v'shadi minayu alei adi itum b'shroi, and he was laying in bed, and the ladies of the house, they came in, they didn't realize, they were holding these silk, you know, whatever, getting ready for the wedding, right? And they threw it on top of him, and he was covered all in silk. So he ran back and he told, you know, Shama Rav, he told Rav this story. He said, Rav, you said that time that I was going to be covered in silk, and it happened. He told him the story, the ikbin, and Rav got very angry. Rav got angry at him. And Omar, he said, my time alo amritli kibarachtich v'chein lamar. And he said, when I gave you that bracha, you should have said, v'chein lamar. It should be by you too. Because you see, the bracha came true. God was listening. He made the bracha come true. And if you would have said, v'chein lamar, it should be by you too, then I also could have silk things thrown on top of me. I don't know. Shol talmid v'sro elazar ben shamua. Right? The students, they asked Rav Elazar ben shamua, but meharach to yomim. You know, why did you merit to live such a long life? Amar lehem yomai lo asisi kampandriya lebeis hakneses. He says, I never used the shul as a shortcut. V'lo pasati aroshe am kadosh. And I never walked over people. You know, like if Cameron wanted to come out right now so he could step over Ed or something like that, right? He says, no, I never did that to other people. I never walked over them like that, right? He didn't sit in the window seat, obviously. Yeah. Velonasati kapi below bracha. And I never did duchening. I never did the duchen without the bracha. So Shaul told me the Vesar pray the premier achta yomim. So yes, sir, pray the refredo. What did you do to merit such a long life? Amar lahem, he said to them, Me yomai lo kidmani adam leves hamedrash. I was always the first one to come to shul. Nobody got there before me. Velo barachti lifnei kohen. And I never benched. If there was a kohen there, I never did the benching. And I never ate from an animal that the section of the animal that goes to the kohen had not been separated for the kohen already. Because we taught the name of Rav Yochanan that you're not allowed to eat from an animal that portion was not separated. It's like eating tevel, like eating food that teruma wasn't separated. The halacha is not like him, but all the same, right? Though it was Rav Preda, right? So he was stringent for that opinion, and he thought that because he kept that stringency, that helped him have long life. And he said, one of the things he said also was that he never led the benching when there was a kohen there. The memer de mal yusei. So is that really a positive thing that you didn't say the benching when there was a kohen there? He should have said the benching even if there was a kohen there, because Amar Rav Yochanan Kol Tamid Chacham Shemevarich Lefanav Afilu Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. Also Tamid Chacham Chayev Misa Shenemar Kol Misenaya Avumaves Atuki Misenaya Lamasniay. Right, because Rav Yochanan taught that if there's a Tamid Chacham there, the Tamid Chacham should lead the benching and not a kohen, because it shows disrespect to the Torah. We should treat the Torah with more respect. So even if you have a kohen gadol there. But the Kohen Gadol is not a Talmud Chacham, and there's a Talmud Chacham there. A Talmud Chacham should lead the benching. So why is he saying, Rav Preda, that it was good that he didn't lead the benching if there was a Kohen there? He was a Talmud Chacham. He should have led the benching if there was a Kohen there. So Kikamar Iyo Bishavian. He says, no, that was only if there was a Kohen there who was also a Talmud Chacham. Good. But if there was a Kohen there who was not a Talmud Chacham, then Rav Preda probably would have done the benching. I'm going to keep going a little bit more, everybody. Okay, I'm sorry. Shalu Talmud of Esrev Nechunya Ben Akana, Pame Arach Tayam, and they asked Nechunya Ben Akana, right, what did you do to merit such a long life? I never was honored by the embarrassment of my friend. And I never went to sleep angry at my friend. Vatron bimimoni. And I was Vatron. I let go when it came to my money. What does it mean that he didn't take honor in his friend's embarrassment? Once upon a time, Rav Huna was carrying a kafse on his shoulders. And Rav Chana came along and he said, listen, let me take that from you, Rav Huna. He said, if you normally walk around in your hometown and you're willing to carry a hoe outside, Dori, then you can carry. But if not, so I don't need you to be embarrassed so that I won't be embarrassed. So he would never let somebody else do something for him like that. And he never went to sleep when he was angry at his friends. Before he went to bed, Omar Shari Li, he said, anybody who harmed me, it's okay, it's fine, I'm not upset. Vatrimonia, you see, and he used to let go when it came to money things. What does that mean? Damar Mar Eo Vatrimonia. Eo used to be like that. Shahayamaniach Prutalachenvari Mimone. He didn't ask always back for the change. If he paid and there was some change, so he said, you know what, you could have it. Vatrana Yisimoni. He says, okay, you could have the change. Show Rabbi Kiva Sir Nchunya Mena Godol, but Meharachta Yamim. Rabbi Kiva asked him, Nchunya, what did you do to merit such a long life? So Asu Gabse become Machfule. So Reb Nechunya's attendants, they thought that Rabbi Akiva was like a joker, you know, asking him, you know, Rabbi, how did you get to be so old? So they said, get out of here. And they started chasing him. Solak Yosef Aresha de Dikla, up a tree. Rabbi Akiva ran up a tree, up a palm tree, the Gemara says, to get away from him. So up from the top, Omar Leh, he said, Rabbi, im nemar keves lama nemar echad. If the Torah in talking about the korbanos, it says keves is singular. So why does it also say echad one? So Omar Lutzer Mirabonu, he says, oh, this guy's, that's a good question. question. Okay, fine, let this guy down. So they let him down. Shavku, they left him alone. Amar Leh, he said to him, Echad meyuchad shebe edro. The reason why it says one is it tells us that it has to be a special one. Not just anyone, but a special one for the karbanos. Amar Leh, miyomai lo kibalti matanos. And he said, oh, now I'll answer your other question. You want to know how I lived so long? Lo kibalti matanos. I never accepted gifts. Lomati al midosai. And I never was very careful about people who would say things about me or do things to me. I didn't care so much. Vatram bimimoni, and I was forgiving about my money. Lo kibalti matanos. I never accepted gifts. Ki hadar avalazu ki avimishadu le matanos bibenisiya. When they used to send him gifts from the nasi, lo avishakil. He didn't accept them. Ki avimizanile. When they invited him, lo avalazil. He didn't go. Amar lahu lo nechal kula dachi. He said, what are you guys sending me stuff and inviting me to stuff? Don't you guys want me to live? Dichsiv soni matanos yichya. People who don't accept gifts, they despise gifts. They live. So leave me alone. Stop sending me stuff. Rav Zeira avimashri le mibenisiya lo avishakilah. When Rav Zeira, they used to send him gifts also from the nasi, so then he would not accept them. But ki avimizamni le ozil. But if they invited him there, he used to go. Amar is yakuri de miskariyebi, because he said they're not doing me honor by having me there. I'm doing them honor. So they're not giving me a gift by inviting me to their thing. I'm giving them a gift by going. So that's why I used to go. Velomarti amidosai, and I wasn't very meticulous about myself. The Amar Rava kol amavir amidosa mavir mimeno kopshav. That anybody who if somebody does them harm and they don't care, they don't make a big deal. Say, all right, fine, it's okay. So God forgives them for all of their sins. Shneamar nosi avon viover al pesha. Right, God carries iniquity and he lets go of pesha. Let me no say avon, let me show over al pesha. If we let go of iniquity, so then God will carry our sin. Shal Rabbi Yis Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha b'meharach to Yomim. So again, they answer Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, you know, how did you merit such a long life? Amar Leh katz b'chayai. He says, well, I'm living too long for you. What are you trying to get rid of me? Right. So Amar Leh, he said to him, no, Rabbi Torah, if you don't want any tzarech, I want to know. So Amar Leh miyomai lo nistakalti b'dmus adam rasha. I never looked at a wicked person. It might have been easier before news and photography, but I never looked at a wicked person. Damar Rav Yochanan, asel adam listakel b'tselem d'mos adam rashi. You're not allowed to look at wicked people. Shneamar lulei pnei Yoshafat melech Yehuda ani noseis im abit elayich v'im erech. Rabbi Elazar amar ein of chaos. Rabbi Elazar says that looking at wicked people causes you to lose your vision. Shneamar v'yiki zakani Yitzchak v'techen einav miros mishum listakel be'esav arasha. When Yitzchak, because he was looking at Esav, he started to lose his vision. V'hagar malei, is that really why Yitzchak lost his vision? From Rabbi Yitzchak, the Olam Ati Kila said, "You Kalabi Enecha Shevi Melech Kila Sarvin Iskayim Bizarre Shneimar Inehul Ksus Enayim Al Tikri Ksus Ela Kisias Enayim." We learned this Gemara together earlier in the Maseches, right? That Avimelech he gave Rivka. He said this should be Ksus Enayim, right? And the Gemara said Kisias Enayim, that it was a curse that Avimelech said to Rivka, and that curse came true with Yitzchak, and that's why he lost his vision. So the Gemara says, "Hava Hagar Malei." It was both. It was both the curse of Avimelech and because he was looking at Esav. Rav It's not good to look at the face of the wicked. B'shas p'ti rasa Rabbi Shubin Korcha was dying. Amar Leh Rabbi said to him, Bercheini. Rabbi said, give me a bracha, Rabbi Shubin Korcha. Amar Leh, he said to him, Yirasa shetagia l'chatze yamai. He says, you should live half of my years. So Rabbi said to him, what kind of bracha is that? Ulukulu lo, and all of your years I shouldn't live? I should only live to half of your years? Amar Leh, this is an astonishing gemara, by the way. He said to him, haba mechrech behema yiru. He says, what, Rabbi, you're a nasi. That's an inherited position. So if you live a long life, then what's that going to mean for your kids? They're never going to ascend to greatness. So you should live half of my years, and then you'll be able to pass on to your children, and that'll be very good for you also. Abu Abar Ihi Umin Yamin Bar Ihi Chad Amar Tesili. One of them said, you know, I deserve credit. The Loestalki Bekusi. I don't look at non-Jews. I think he must be talking about like the wicked, like we were just talking about before. The Chad Amar Tesili De Lo Adi Shutvas Vadi Kusi. And I deserve credit because I never went into business deals with non-Jews. Shol Tami Devas Service Rabbi Meharach. They asked Rabbi Zeira, what did you do to get long life? I never got angry at my house. And I never walked in front of somebody who was greater than me. And I never thought about Torah when I was in a place that was dirty. And I never went 4 amos without either Torah or tefillin. And I never slept in the shul. The guy's sleeping in the shul right now as I'm talking. He said, I never slept in the shul. Right? Not a little bit, and not a lot. That's a joke on the recording. Nobody's sleeping here in the shul. And I never got happy when my friends fell down, when somebody got hurt or harmed. And I never called my friends by any kind of nicknames. All right, we'll stop here tonight.